The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Lamar Miller do anything for you?
The good thing about him is the dude's young, and I think he's still got a lot of tread on his tires. I don't want to get in a bidding war for him.
No.
From what I understand, the Cowboys said he wanted $6 million a year. He said, no thanks. He wanted that DeMarco Murray money, and they were like, no, you ain't that. They're offering him between 4 and 5. If the Texans can get him for between 4 and 5, I think that's fair.
We all feel like that Brock Osweiler is worth $45 million.
I think Brock Osweiler is better than anybody you can pick at number 22. If you're going to invest money anywhere, I'm not going to have many problems with you investing at quarterback.
And you look at all the guys out there who got big deals. You could say, well, they're not really worth it, but then what do you replace him with? Andy Dalton, was he worth it? He was playing like he was worth it before he got hurt. Ryan Tannehill, Cam Newton, all these guys, if you think you have your quarterback, you have to pay him.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz, hour number 3, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you missed the first 2 hours, that's some of what you heard. And it's all available on podcastarena.com, so go and check it out. Jong, you proud of me? I hit the Jungle Fever all 3 times today with no hesitation. I think I'm there. Only took me 2 weeks.
Yeah. Ryan says, y'all seen the movie Devil? 4 people trapped in an elevator with Satan. He kills them one by one while they blame each other. Yeah, that movie sucked. It's terrible. Disco Biscuit, fun Blitz game. Put 5 college girls in an elevator with Fred and see who stays the longest.
I can tell you exactly how that works. They get on the first floor, and even if they're supposed to be going to 30, they stop at 2 and get off if I'm under. So, I'm just saying. I'm apparently old and scary. So, and I mean, I assume we're not talking about being stuck on an elevator with 5 college girls.
Right.
Because I don't know what would happen there. They would all just like kind of try to get to the far corner and get as far away as possible. 713-780-ESPN. Let's grab a phone call because Chris has been on hold for quite a while. I'd like to get him on. What's up, Chris?
Hey, y'all. Sports again.
Sports to you.
This is Chris 1. I got bounced for Chris 2 somehow, so I apologize about getting cut off, but I went in the shop because we were getting rained on. But my question, I made the comments about the UFC earlier, and I think I got most of my comment in, and I'll listen to y'all's response on Podcast Arena, which you can get online. My question was, did you, AJ or either of y'all, did you get a chance to listen to Dana White's interview on Russillo this afternoon, which I normally don't listen to, but he was on Russillo and did an interview. Did you hear it?
No, I didn't get to hear it today.
Oh, man, that sucks. But he had
I can listen to it on Podcast Arena.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry. But he had he made 2 comments that stood out, and I just want to touch on was that apparently Holly Holmes, he was like shocked that she even took that fight, knowing that she should have waited for Rousey, and really said that on the air and was kind of pretty bored about it. And also that John Jones apparently has never fought sober, according to Dana White. And I'm not trying to like spin something, but that's what he said, you know. And I thought I thought that you might have heard the interview, but I know y'all probably hadn't, but that's what he had said, and I wonder if he had any comments on it, and I appreciate taking my call.
Now, if that's true, or if he's never fought sober, that's impressive, because that dude's pretty good. Drunk or high or whatever he is, he's pretty dangerous. As far as Holly Holm, that was a big risk to take, and she could have waited on Ronda. She said she doesn't want to wait. She wanted to stay active. She got beat. It happens.
And that was a... And you called it before the fight. That was a much more difficult matchup for her in a lot of ways. And Tate fought the way that you needed to fight to beat her. And I think you even tweeted that out, that you hope Ronda was learning from that.
Yeah.
So.
Kyle, Andre versus Calvin career stats, which is better? Is Dre a Hall of Famer? I said Calvin's a better player than Andre Johnson. It's not even a debate in my mind. And talking to those guys that we talked to, Andre's not even in consideration as a Hall of Famer at this point, which to me, he's at least in consideration. They made it sound like he's not. It's a non-starting point with him. He says because Dre didn't have a QB, he was arguably the best wide receiver for a couple years straight.
Go look at who Calvin had early in his career.
Yeah, that dude played until Matt Stafford came around, and I think we can all agree Matt Stafford is okay. We're not talking about Joe Montana here, but he played with some donkeys early in his career. Not to say that Andre didn't, because he did.
Yeah.
But to me, those guys, neither one had the best help at quarterback. But
Andre's career numbers are going to put him into the discussion. When all is said and done, he's going to be, I think, numbers-wise, he'll be in that discussion. But you also have to keep in mind that, and we talk about this a lot, the way goes back to where the guy was asking about the running game in the NFL. The way offenses are now, you have to put up pretty sick numbers to get in as a receiver. And yeah, Andre Johnson is probably, if he'd had another 1,000-yard season and gotten close to top five,
yeah,
I think that would put him in. But right now, it's going to be kind of hard. I mean, if he doesn't play anymore, which he says he's going to keep playing, but I can't see him having another great season where he can get to 15. I mean, he needs 900 yards to get to 15,000, and I don't see that happening, not unless he plays three more years.
Yeah.
So, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. But I think he's getting closer when you look at the guys around him. But a lot depends on, like, Steve Smith. If Steve Smith has another big year and passes Andre Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald has another couple big years, those are guys that will pass him on the all-time receiving list. Now, here are the guys ahead of him. Jerry Rice, T.O., Randy Moss. Here's another guy that I think before you consider Andre Johnson, you have to consider Isaac Bruce.
Yeah.
Who also has a Super Bowl ring and made it to two. Tony Gonzalez is a different position. Tim Brown, who played 18 years. Marvin Harrison, who just got in. Reggie Wayne, who
also has a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah. And
here's the other thing, too. When you start comparing Calvin Johnson's number to Andre Johnson's numbers, remember that Andre Johnson was in the league 4 years longer and counting than Calvin Johnson. So you'll see their numbers and you go, oh, they're pretty close. Remember that one had four less seasons to do it.
Right.
And I think comparing Andre Johnson to Calvin Johnson is silly. To me, if you want to compare Andre Johnson to some of those other guys, that's a more realistic comparison. But to compare him to, for my money, the best receiver that's played over the last 9 years since he's been in the league, that's not a fair comparison for Andre Johnson.
And it's not to say Andre wasn't a damn good player.
No, he's fantastic. He's not Calvin Johnson. That's not a diss. He's just not Calvin Johnson. neither is anybody.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. So I guess everybody wants us to see this Game of Thrones trailer, but I'm just getting the spinning wheel of death. So
800 people have sent me that trailer today. I'm excited, just like you guys.
Yes. I can't wait. We're not that far away. It's going to be a fantastic season. We got Banshee coming back here pretty soon. This is when TV gets good. That's why I'm probably not adding anything new, simply because I've already got enough and I've got those coming up.
Yeah, The Americans is starting up too.
Yeah, I kind of ejected on that after season one.
Oh, you're crazy. That's a good show.
I liked it. It just didn't do much for me.
I will say, I still love Banshee and I still love Game of Thrones. Better Call Saul might be the best show on TV. It is so well written. It is so funny. It is so clever.
I haven't seen last night yet. I'm going to watch it tonight.
Oh.
But
It makes me want to go back and watch Breaking Bad and have a new appreciation for Mike's character.
Yeah. Yeah. But he was always one of my favorite characters in that. And so was Bob Odenkirk. I mean, they both, I love both of them in that show. They were, I think they've done a really good job with it. It wasn't what I was expecting it to be. I think I said that last year when it came out. Thought it was going to be more comedy, but it's very, very good. And like I said, I haven't caught up yet. And a lot of people, House of Cards season 4 is available on Netflix. I'll repeat what I said yesterday.
You're out on it.
I will not watch season 4. I hated season 3 so much.
I might catch up to it.
It was a waste of my time last year, and I hate every character in there now. Somebody asked, do you need to see Breaking Bad to get into Better Call Saul? No. No, it stands on its own really well, which is another reason why I like it so much. But
because it's a prequel, so it's completely unrelated. It helps, and it makes it kind of shows off how clever it is.
Yeah, well, and there are some kind of crossover characters.
What last night brought back another character that you will remember from from Breaking Bad.
Cool. But I think this week's vinyl was the first one that I thought was a little slow since the first one. Didn't quite enjoy it as much, but I am enjoying that series as well. And I also watch John Oliver, which I just think that's one of that's the best of those kind of shows that's being done. So, and I know everybody keeps telling me, oh, season 4 is the best. It's much, much better. Doesn't matter.
Season 4 is not the best. No way. Season 1 is the best.
Yeah, season 1 was the best. Season 2, see, the problem was it was about halfway through season 2, it started getting sucky. And then season 3 was awful.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, I don't care if it's the best thing in the history of the universe. When I'm out on something, I'm out on it. And I'm not going to change my mind because I ain't got time for that. I got too many good shows on right now.
I feel like you need to be talked back into giving the Americans a second look. What I will say about that, it is slow at times, but I think it's a very good show.
Yeah, I have to like the characters, and I just got where I didn't like any of them. Same thing happened to House of Cards. I have to like you and root for you at some point. And it doesn't matter how many evils there are out there in Game of Thrones, there's always characters I like. Of course, one of them got whacked, maybe. We'll see. All right, we are going to take a very quick break. When we come back, grab a couple more calls. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. So apparently, Barry Warner is on the other network telling people Ben Jones is going to the Titans. So good luck with that.
Yeah, this is a big controversy going on around here.
Yeah.
Jung and Barry Warner have been getting into it because, Jung, what happened? Barry Warner wanted to come on our air and break this news?
Yeah, and I put it on hold. Trying to see if anything comes up on Twitter. And then I picked the phone back up and I told him, Barry, you have to tell me who your source is. And then he started to curse me out. And he would say, Fred would never do this. You don't know anything about journalism. And so forth and so forth. And I told him, Barry, the last time you reported something, you got it wrong. And I would rather not get it. I'd rather be not first. Try not to be first. I want to get the story right. And he decided to call YSR during the break and go on the national network and spread the Ben Jones news.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to punish him?
I'll let him be Barry Warner. He's.
Can I, since my name was invoked on this, can I tell you what my policy was when I was making those decisions? And our paper's policy was that before we could break anything, we had to have the editor, which was me at the time, had to know who the source was, and we had to have a second corroborating source. That was our policy for the last 5 years I was there. So technically, you were right to ask that because you then have to make the decision whether we go with it or not based on that. But the way Twitter is, so you can just get on Twitter and say that, and
yeah,
and we'll see. So anyway, and I'm sure he'll talk about it tomorrow.
Well, good for him, I say. I don't this show, we're not about necessarily being first on things. We're not
a breaking news show. Yeah, we never have been.
We're not reporters.
I'm not anymore. I mean, we're commentators now.
Yeah. I just want to sit here and give my opinion on some stuff and tell dong jokes.
Or talk about Nancy Reagan being a vacuum cleaner. I still try to be responsible in what we report.
Not me.
When stuff comes out, but I don't, it's not really me anymore. But anyway, is that name really Pistol? I almost have to take that phone call, don't I?
I guess so.
Because it's Pistol. What's up, Pistol?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Sports?
I read a Yahoo Sports Today article, and it was about the Golden State Warriors record and their chase for the Bulls record, and pretty much just denounced everything that the Golden State Warriors have done, pretty much criticizing their offensive attack on the three-point line and winning a championship because of the three-point line, and pretty much saying they could never, ever beat the Bulls team, even if they do surpass their record. I think it's a lot of BS, personally. I just want to get your take on that, and hang up with you guys, talk about it.
Well, I mean, that's what all these old-school guys seem to think, that the Warriors are fraudulent. That's fine. They're entitled to their opinions. And we've talked about this before. The old guard will always defend the old teams, the old players. It's just like we were talking about. Lynn Swann thinks Calvin Johnson shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Okay, I don't really care what Lynn Swann says, because I'm pretty sure Calvin Johnson's a better player than him. That Bulls team was fantastic. It'd be tough for me to bet against them. But the reality, they're never going to play. I don't care.
Right.
What I do know is the Warriors are the best team in the NBA today, which the Bulls were several times. And this Warriors team, I think, when it's all said and done, is going to be better compared to their peers than that Bulls team, which means they're going to have the best record of all time. And you could say what you want, but when your record's the second best, there's something to be said for it. And it's just like when the Patriots won all those games, they went 16-0, lost in the Super Bowl to the Giants. Would that team beat the Dolphins undefeated team?
Oh God, yes.
Of course they would, but they're undefeated, so it doesn't really matter.
And we've talked about this a lot before too, is people feeling the need to protect the past. And I think that's silly. And what those teams accomplished was great. What this team is accomplishing is great. There's no reason to say, oh well, there's no way they could have possibly. I think that's bull. And by the way, let's let the season play out, because they need to win another title. If they don't, doesn't really matter. And those Spurs aren't too far behind them.
No.
Now the Warriors are actually going to have to lose a game at home at some point, but in the playoffs, we know it's a little bit different game, and I think it's going to be interesting.
And here's the other thing.
I think this team right now is playing at a historical level. They broke the Bulls' record for home wins in a row. You can't take that away from them, and I don't know how, just because you don't like the way they play, other teams play that way now too, and they're doing it better than anybody else.
Let's also keep in mind that if the Warriors go 75-7 and don't win the NBA Finals, they're not the best team of all time. You got to have that regular season record, then you have to go win the title. So I don't think they're going to go 75-7, but if they beat the Bulls' regular season record and they don't win the title, the Bulls were a better team, because the Bulls were able to win in the playoffs.
Right, and that's, but I hate people who just automatically dismiss what's happening now to protect the past. And I'm an old guy.
Yeah.
But, I try not to do that. I really do. And I've been pretty honest about the things I think that were better. I think I'll always say this: college basketball was more interesting when guys stayed 3 years, because they developed into better players. Now I think the players are better now, but they don't get a chance. I mean, the ones that stay for 3 or 4 years aren't your best players.
Yeah.
And I thought that stretch, really, when the Big East was becoming what it was, with Chris Mullin and Walter Berry and guys like that and Patrick Ewing. I mean, to me, that was college basketball was better then. And because you got to know all those players, they were there for 3 years. But I think the quality of athlete's better. I don't think the quality of product's better. And that's about it. I still think music was better, but every generation thinks that their music was better in whatever era they were from. 713-780-ESPN. 832 says, it sucks the Warriors don't get as much attention in terms of nationally televised games as the Bulls were on WGN. I think, though, they benefit from something the Bulls didn't have, which is the social media explosion.
Yeah.
And you see, and you get on Twitter, you see the highlights of Steph Curry every day. So I think that's, they are getting a lot of attention because of that. It's just a different kind of attention. All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in.
Hey, Jung, I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm proud of you for sticking to your guns.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't feel comfortable with it, so I didn't do it.
Mostly, I'm proud of you because I didn't want him to come on the air because he thinks I'm dirty gay trailer trash. It would have been really awkward if I would have had to be on the radio with him.
Yeah.
Thanks for protecting me.
I got you, bro.
I knew you would.
Yeah, that would be a little awkward coming on here after all that. But
we like reporters who don't call us dirty gay trailer trash. Like David Dilotti. He never calls me that.
I saw Dilotti Saturday night. He was at the racetrack.
Does he still work here?
He does still work here.
He still works here.
Okay.
He just never comes in anymore for us to make fun of.
Yeah. Never hear from him.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. Wonder what happens next. Who knows?
Never mind. What? Tomorrow.
Oh, he's going to be angry at you tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure.
You're going to be dirty gay trailer trash bad, you think? Or is it going to be something?
Maybe an Asian equivalent to trailer trash.
What is the Asian equivalent?
I don't know. Country folk? I don't know.
You better not say Vietnamese.
No.
No, he would. Well, what if he does?
Oh, that would be awful.
All right. You'll have to bring your katana blade if he does.
Oh, boy. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975. You killed me back then. Left me out
alone. Done it again. I think you know it. ESPN. 975. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. Yeah, that's the beauty of Twitter. If you want to break a story now, you just get on Twitter and say it. Come on here.
Bust it open, man.
Yeah. It would make sense because Titans could use a center. They got money to spend. He's from Georgia, which is, almost Tennessee.
That's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I don't even know where to go from here because now all I can think about is trying to find the equivalent of trailer trash for every ethnic group in the world. And I don't think that's a good idea. We need Bob Arum for that.
Yeah. We'll call him later this week.
Yeah. Let's take a phone call from Don. What's up, Don?
Hey, guys. Sports. Y'all were talking about Lynn Swann earlier in the. I was only in the truck for a little while, and the guy was talking about the two-back offense and all that back in the day. But, and I don't know if y'all talked about it, but probably the reason that Lynn Swann got in the Hall of Fame, of course, now he was like third or fourth ballot, and Earl Campbell was first ballot, by the way, was that back then Lynn Swann was, as far as receivers go, he was the man in that generation, in that era of football. You know, we were so used to the 3 yards in the cloud of dust. Lynn Swann was one of the, one of the great receivers of that era. And statistically speaking, no, he can't hang with the guys these days. But back then, if you look at the numbers, he probably, he deserved it compared to his era. right? Or
well, here's where I'll dispute you on that. And I was a kid when these guys were playing, so I'm going to we got to go with that caveat. He wasn't the best receiver on his team. John Stallworth was. And you go back and look at Lynn Swann never had a 1,000-yard season. His best season was 78. He had 880 yards. And that year, he had more yards than Stallworth did, who had 798. 41 catches for 798. And that was his best year. He had 61 for 880. Almost every other year, except for 80 when Stallworth was injured, had more yards. Stallworth had 3,000-yard seasons. So you make a case that Lynn Swann wasn't even the best receiver on his team. He was just very acrobatic, and everybody remembers that catch in the Super Bowl. And you look at those Steelers teams that won as many Super Bowls as they did, that made those guys Hall of Famers. And I think you can make the same case for – and that's part of it. Winning multiple Super Bowls, that should count. And that's why you have so many of those Cowboys in the Hall of Fame. And I don't think Michael Irvin would be in there if he didn't have Super Bowl rings. And I'm not sure Aikman would be either. Doesn't mean they weren't great players, but they were part of a great team that, you know, you look at some of the, go back and look at some of the names around those Cowboys teams, just like you look at those Steelers. We haven't even talked about the defensive guys who made the Hall of Fame on the Steelers or the Cowboys. So you get there by, in those days, no, the numbers were, they don't compare to now. For that time, they were pretty good. But he never put up seasons like the guy on the other side of the field did from him.
Right.
So, you know, but it's pretty simple. The reason he's in is Super Bowls. John, do we not have a giveaway for Hey Man Bleep That today?
No, but I can get one from tomorrow. She just refilled the giveaway.
Oh, okay. Here's a great point from Lamont. This is something I was thinking about the other day. Are you expecting another running back in the Hall of Fame? I'm really trying, and I can't think of one.
Adrian Peterson's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Maybe. I think you got to keep in mind he lost an entire year last year. And if he gets if he has another monster season where he almost set the record, yeah, I think he's a lock. But that's about the only one I can think of. And, you know, who knows if Todd Gurley can stay healthy. Maybe he puts up those kind of numbers. But I don't think you're going to see a lot of guys put up the kind of numbers. They're just not going to carry the ball as much.
Yeah. I mean, what's crazy is, you know, Adrian Peterson, and he probably, I mean, I'm guessing, how many yards do you think Adrian Peterson will pull in next year if he stays healthy?
I don't think 1,500 is a stretch.
Okay. Let's say he puts in 1,500. That would take him from currently where he sits 17th on the all-time rushing yard list. He would move all the way up to 7th, 8th-ish. So, I mean, and that's just one season. If he does that twice, he's top five, you know. So,
yeah, and
when I just have a, I mean, again, I know everybody likes to protect the last era, but if Curtis Martin and Jerome Bettis are Hall of Famers,
yeah,
Adrian Peterson's a Hall of Famer.
I would agree, but I don't know too many guys out there now. I mean, Marshawn Lynch to me should deserve some consideration. His numbers are not going to be, you know,
they're not close.
He's not going to be top 30. And we'll see what Todd Gurley does with his career. But
I mean,
when you look at the other active
Jamal
guys,
Charles has, you know, five more solid years.
I don't see any way he does. I mean, he's hurt so much.
You're right.
I mean, he would have to have five completely healthy years. And he's 59th on the rushing list.
Yeah.
So I'd say no way.
What if Frank Gore has another 1,000-yard season in him? That put him in the top 10 all time.
Maybe. I just don't think he does.
I don't think he does either. But if he has two more 500-yard seasons.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. He's 32 years old.
Steven Jackson's the other guy who's up there in numbers, but I think he's totally done.
Yeah. Of the active guys, I think Peterson's probably the only one. I'd take a look at Lynch, but, man, there's just not anybody right now.
See, for me, like Lynch, as good as Lynch is, if guys like Ricky Waters isn't in, Ricky Waters played, I mean, he had a sort of a short career as himself. Guys like Jamal Lewis, if those guys aren't in the Hall of Fame, Marshawn Lynch doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame.
And so he asked LaDainian Tomlinson. He's already
he'll be in. Yeah.
Isn't he in?
He'll be in this year, I believe.
Is this his year?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, when you look on the horizon, the way that they've devalued the running back, I don't think you're going to see a lot more of those.
Is Edgerrin James going to get in the Hall of Fame?
I don't think so.
Well, then that's your standard. Everybody who's in the top 10, with the exception of LaDainian Tomlinson, has already been inducted into the Hall of Fame. Edgerrin James is number 11 on the all-time list.
Okay.
You get down to 15. That's where Frank Gore sits. He's the next one that's not in. 16 is Fred Taylor. And I don't think Fred Taylor is going to get in.
No. To me, the standard for running backs is you should have – you need to be in the top 10, and you need to have had at least one outstanding standout season.
What if Chris Johnson works his way up then?
I just don't see it happening.
Because he had a good season last year.
He had the great season early in his career, but I don't see it.
Because he'll hit 10,000 yards this year.
Yeah, he's not for me.
Yeah, not for me either. But, yeah, I'm with you. I think Adrian Peterson, to me, is a sure thing. I think beyond him, it's pretty dicey.
Yeah, I would – well, and obviously.
But what they'll do is eventually they'll just lower the standard. Because it's not like they're going to never let running backs in anymore.
Well, if you're going to lower the standard, then you better be thinking about Marshawn Lynch. I mean, he carried that team to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And he was the offense.
Well, you could say the same thing for Jamal Lewis.
Yeah, you could. I think Lynch has had a better career, though.
Jamal Lewis, where's he on the all-time list?
24th. He's ahead of Lynch, but he also played 9 years to Lynch's 8. I think if Lynch plays another year, he passes him.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, you'd have to have a 1,500-yard year to do it. I think those guys are very good comps for each other.
Yeah. But I don't.
Same with Ricky Waters. And Ricky Waters put up his numbers while playing with freaking Joe Montana and Steve Young, you know, where he wasn't the first option in the offense.
Did a lot with the Eagles, too, though. I mean, he had some big years there. I think, to me, you got to at least be top 15.
Okay.
Yeah. But, or you had to be incredibly special for a short time, which is why I think a guy like Terrell Davis, who gets no consideration whatsoever because he was hurt.
Right.
But he also had two of the most amazing years back-to-back, and they were Super Bowl years.
I think you got to have both.
Yeah. I mean, for 2 years he played like a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. But hell, that goes back to people saying that Calvin Johnson might not have enough.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back, play a little Hey Man, Bleep That. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz, on ESPN 97.5.
RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. What do I have here? Oh, yeah. The official ESPN 97.5 app is now available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go, or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device on the all-new ESPN 97.5.com.
Josh says, what if Forte has another solid 3 or 4 years, kind of revolutionized the catching out of the backfield? Yeah, but 3 or 4 years, that's a lot.
He's 30 years old. That's not going to happen.
Depending on where he ends up, though, that guy does have a lot of rushing yards, like compared to a lot of the other running backs we've been talking about. And he has all those receiving yards. The problem is I think he's kind of nearing the end of the rope. Like, I'm not seeing Adrian Peterson fading yet.
No.
I'm seeing Matt Forte fading.
All right. This is where we play a little game called Hey Man, Bleep That, where basically all three of us have something that's either irritated us, whether it's a story or an event, or, God, I wonder what Jonks is going to be today. So what we need is callers 5, 6, and 7 at 713-780-ESPN. You're going to go on hold, and all three of us are going to have our little rant. And is it Tyler judging today?
Yeah, I'll go grab him.
Yeah, and Tyler will come in and judge his favorite. And the winner will get the Big Short digital HD code. Christian Bale, Steve Carroll, Ryan Gosling, and Brad Pitt deliver career best performances in this shocking, unbelievable true story directed by Adam McKay. Nice. The Big Short is the most wildly entertaining must-see movie of the year. Buy it on digital HD now from Paramount Pictures, rated R. I haven't seen it yet. We were going to go this weekend, and then we decided to go see Whiskey Tango Foxtrot instead.
I want to go see the Brothers Grimsby.
That looks interesting to me, too.
Howard Stern, as much as I love him, this was going to be my hey, man, bleep that, but I'm changing it. He interviewed Sacha Baron Cohen today.
Yeah.
And he went way too deep on spoilers. And, like, he got an advanced copy. So during the interview, he was asking a bunch of questions. I was like, dude, you're kind of ruining this for me. So I was a little bummed by that, but I'm still excited to see it. It sounds very funny.
Yeah, we've kind of got a new thing now. We're on the weekends since we just walk down to Sundance and see whatever's on down there, and they have really good movies most of the time. It's convenient. Plus, they have beer, which is always good. But
There's an Alamo literally half a mile from my house.
All right, so
stumbling distance.
Here's how this is going to work. We have Reggie, we have Tim, and we need one more caller who we just hung up on a bunch of them. So the next caller, you're going to be the third one. Reggie, you're going to get AJ's, because AJ's going to go first today. Tim, you'll get Jong. And whoever gets on next will get mine. So we'll start with AJ.
All right.
For Reggie.
Over the weekend, or on Friday, I said over the weekend I'm going to put together my 68 teams that I've got making the tournament right now.
Yes.
And I probably spent a couple hours on that over the weekend and on Monday. Put together my 68. Then last night happened. And Valparaiso lost. Monmouth lost, Hofstra lost, all these teams that I thought were shoo-ins. Hofstra's probably, it doesn't matter anyway, because they're probably not going to make the tournament now, but Valparaiso and Monmouth both have a chance to make the tournament. Completely destroyed my whole thing. Put a lot of work into it. We barely had any time to talk about it.
I know, because we were going to kind of hit a little bit each day.
And now it's ruined. I'm going to have to start all the way over. All my work being wasted, and stupid mid-major teams who can't win their own crappy conference tournament, I say, hey, man, f*** that.
All right, Jonkster.
I hate doing work that gets wasted.
Well, mine's going to be what happened today right at 6 o'clock.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'm not going to say his name, but you guys listen to it on podcastarena.com.
Barry Warner, you mean?
Yeah. He called up and said he has sources that put that's going to have Ben Jones to the Tennessee Titans on a four-year deal. And I simply asked him, Barry, who's your source? And he went on and cursed me out and said that...
You're his boss, by the way.
He cursed me out and says that Freddie would never handle this like this. And I told him, you know what, Barry, you've been wrong before. Well, with the Astros, you've been wrong. And I told him, I don't want to be first. I want to be right. And he said, have you ever been wrong in your life? And I said, yeah, but in this situation...
Yeah, but I don't like it.
Yeah. In this situation, I don't want to be wrong. And he hung up and proceeded to call Yahoo Sports Radio and went on Prime Cut to break the news. And I say, hey, man, fuck that.
Don't be too upset, John. The good news is no one in Houston heard it.
Well... See, I think that's a winner, but I'm going to do this one anyway. And I was going to do it last week, and then the thing came up with my daughter that, by the way, I got a lot of great response from people. Thank you for that. But
did they put her in the school?
No, and I don't want her in that school. I don't want her in that damn school. Okay. Anyway, David Barron wrote a nice little story about us when the ratings came out and how we had the highest rated show in the city. Except they never can quite give us credit because... The headline says lineup shuffles lead to notable changes in Houston sports radio ratings. Not KFNC makes giant move, Blitz takes none of that, right? So we're not in the headline.
Not Fred and AJ are badass.
No, nothing like that. And you know what's worse? They have a photo with the story, which David doesn't pick out the photos, but you know the photos of?
Not me.
Adam Clanton and Sean Jones. Now, I don't mean...
You think it's because Adam's handsome?
Well, yeah, he's a former TV guy, so he's handsome. And I guess Sean's a former football player, but I'm looking at this list, and they're like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10th. And yet they get a photo and we don't.
So, because they're one of the new things that got shaken up.
Yeah, well, and that's
still
all.
Still BS.
That's all, you know what, they're pretty boys and everything.
Oh, is he handsome too?
Well, yeah, a little bit. He's a former football player. So, listen, basically.
I've met some ugly football players.
To the Chronicle, which never gives us any credit for anything, despite all the wonderful years I put into that
this
place.
This was their big chance.
I know, they could have made up for everything, right?
They'd give us some shine.
So, to them, I say, hey, man, f*** that. So, that's it. Tyler.
You nailed it. John won.
Yeah.
You didn't even have to do
yours. Yeah, I didn't have to do mine, but I kind of wanted to. So, Tim, congratulations. You are the winner. Because, I mean, that really does bother me a little bit. So,
you know who's got a great job?
Besides us?
Joe Lunardi. Like, granted, he has to do all this work that I do.
Yeah.
But he gets paid a ton of money for it.
And he's probably got, like, four assistants who do it for him anyway.
And if he's wrong, big deal. They just asked him, apparently. They just asked him, they asked him if the Western Conference or West Coast Conference Gonzaga St. Mary's loser was out of the tournament.
Yeah.
His answer? Probably. I mean, this is your one job.
Yeah, you only do it 1 month out of the year.
Probably.
Then you disappear again like Mel Kiper after the draft.
What a life.
Oh, boy. All right, that's going to wrap it up.
Probably.
Probably. I'm going to say great job by Jong Lee today across the board.
We'll be here tomorrow, probably.
Probably. Great job by AJ Hoffman. That's okay. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Till then, stay sporty, bitches. Solving world peace and collecting fat pay.
ESPN 97.5.